Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith, and thank you for joining me this evening. It's been, wow, over a month, almost 5 weeks since I did my last show before Thanksgiving, and we are now in the heart of the Christmas season, and I have so much to share with you. So I guess let me just start, first of all, with saying, again, I'm so glad that you've taken the time to join me this evening. I started the show today with O Come All You Faithful instrumental version. I'm going to actually play only instrumentals, Christmas music instrumentals this season. Many times in the past, I'll play my favorite renditions or versions by artists that I enjoy or admire. But this year I'm actually going to be just playing some instrumentals for us. And this particular arrangement is by Peter, I guess that's how you say it, P-E-D-E-R, maybe Peter, the Helland, H-E-L-L-A-N-D. I just found it on YouTube. And then a little bit, I'm going to talk about my 10 most loved Christmas hymns. So those will be the instrumentals I'll be playing for this show, the remaining shows this season and for the year. I wanted to just give you some updates on what's happened with me over the last few weeks. So I ended up going to Florida for a few days over the Thanksgiving holiday break week. I went to Tallahassee to see some family friends, my godparents, and their grandchildren, their granddaughters. Had a wonderful time there fellowshipping with them. I went to the Tallahassee Museum. I went to the Wildlife National Refuge. Went to the mall. Got a chance to also go to Universal Studios City Walk on that Tuesday before the Thanksgiving break. And it was cold. It was freezing, actually. I was disappointed with that, but Amen. We had a beautiful trip, a very lovely boardwalk there. And also, before I headed back to Memphis, I got a chance to go to the Jack Hadley Black History Museum in Thomasville, Georgia. So it's like Thomasville, Georgia is like maybe 30 to 45 minutes from Tallahassee. And I just rode through there because I saw a sign for it on my last morning there. And this is an just amazing, phenomenal display, over 2,000 artifacts of Black history over the years past and present, both local and national and even global. Leaders and pioneers and just profoundly inspirational and influential people and events in history. So if you're ever in Thomasville, Georgia, please do visit the Jack Hadley Black History Museum. It is a powerful, life-changing experience. I did have a little bit of a flight debacle coming back from Florida to Memphis. I missed my connection in Miami due to the plane that was arriving to take me was coming from Honduras, and I guess they have whatever issues they have when, you know, you have this international flight. And so I missed my connection and ended up flying to Nashville and then from Nashville to Charlotte to Memphis. So even though in Nashville I was only 3.5 hours away, but the airline company did comp me the flight, which is why I chose to fly rather than rent a car and drive, because I wouldn't have been reimbursed for that. But, you know, thank God I got home safely, 10 o'clock a.m. Thanksgiving morning, and here's how I know that God really does just care for me so deeply and what's important to me, because the lady next to me on the plane from Charlotte to Memphis was streaming the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is a staple of mine for the Thanksgiving holiday since I was very young, a child back in the 80s. I remember watching that. And this one this year was very good. They added more multicultural elements than they've ever had before. And it was a joy to watch and even, you know, get to share that with someone. So praise God for that. Thanksgiving night, I spent with my family at my cousin's house. We ate. We played two games, Culture Tags. If you've never heard of that, it's a really neat game. It's a lot of fun. It can be competitive in an exciting way. And it's kind of expensive right now. I think it's like $25. But maybe if your family can pitch in and get it together for some family gatherings, and then we played some Family Feud, and I put up some decorations and got out Christmas clothes, and we also, December 4th, had the opportunity with some of my students to volunteer at the St. Jude Marathon, and it was so wonderful to just be there and support and cheer on those who were participating in the marathon. We got the opportunity to be a part of that experience. I am a monthly St. Jude supporter. So, you know, it was just great to be there. We were part of handing out snacks and water to the participants. We cleaned up and at the site, and it was just very, very nice. So I want to go into some more things that are coming up with me tomorrow night. I'm supposed to attend a choral festival downtown. I think it's the men's choral something or other. Performance production, and one of the teachers at my school, our choir teacher, is in this performance, this concert, and I've been to see the Nut Remix, which featured one of my students, and we're also having a production at my school, a fine arts production. So I just want to said, people of influence this week, those who are in the arts, fine arts, entertainment, especially that which is uplifting and glorifying to the Lord during the season, as we're singing hymns of praise and celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just, you know, I thank God for that music. The Word of God talks about music and, you know, songs of praise to the Lord and celebration and, you know, rejoicing in Him and in His name, in His deity, in His sovereignty. So I wanted to mention them, and praise reports. So my son's 22nd birthday is Tuesday. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He is serving the United States Air Force, and he'll be coming home hopefully in a couple of weeks to spend Christmas with us. I'm so delighted and glad I have the opportunity to see him. I haven't seen him since this summer. And I just thank God for his faith and his stance for righteousness before the Lord as a young man. Also, praise reports, it's the last week before the Christmas break for teachers and schools. It's been a long semester. But it's been, you know, a successful semester we've gotten through despite the pandemic and all the different regulations we've implemented and the changes and what's come about. So I just thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for my health and strength. I thank the Lord for the protection over me and over my family. I praise Him for that. Getting to the end of this calendar year, just the joy that I have and what I've been called and purposed to do in and through the earth for a job, for employment. And I have some prayer requests specifically for the Omicron variant, and it has now been discovered in Shelby County, which is the county where I live, but it's already been proliferating. So we just need to continue to pray about the COVID-19 pandemic. There was some storm damage across Kentucky and some of the Middle Tennessee area, and the loss of life. There's about 70 people lost their lives in Kentucky. What a great tragedy. We need to pray for them and their families. There were some recent mass shootings in places, schools, and so we want to pray for those families. We want to pray for those communities. There are people grieving everywhere. There's been suicide, youth suicide, health issues. There have been, you know, concerns about student loans and debt and just the anxiety. We just want to pray. And I also want to say people of influence, those who work the suicide prevention hotline. I have a friend who does the crisis line on the weekends. And so I just thank God for individuals who felt convicted to step into that role and into that realm. Because it's very much needed, and I know that God will honor the sacrifice of time and compassion for others. Amen. So I'm going to read. Before I read our scripture verses concerning crises, I want to talk about my top 10 most loved Christmas hymns. And when I start my shows next week after school is out, I'm going to do a series of shows like over a 7-day period to wrap up our health series. I haven't forgotten about that. We still have educational, financial, and possession health remaining. but we're going to finish those up, and I'm going to talk a lot about volunteerism and service and sacrifice through the holidays and going into 2022, because that's what it's all about. We are put here to be of service in the name of the Lord. Amen. And some opportunities that I am hoping to engage in the upcoming year, and possibly if I'm able to do so prior to the end of this year in some shape, form, or fashion. But I want to talk briefly, just mention my top 10 most loved Christmas hymns, and these are specifically talking about the birth of Christ. So even though I like listening to Jingle Bells and Jingle Bell Rock and all that kind of stuff, we're not going to talk about that today for the purpose of this show. We're going to talk about that which glorifies the Lord. So my favorites are, "O Come All You Faithful," "Angels We Have Heard on High," "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," "Mary, Did You Know," "Do You Hear What I Hear," "Jesus, Oh What a Wonderful Child," "Little Drummer Boy, Joy to the World," "O Holy Night" and "Silent Night." So if those are some of your favorites, amen, you know that these particular hymns just remind us of the truth and the miracle of Jesus Christ coming to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, a child who grew into a man, fully divine and fully human, to be the propitiation for our sins, to offer atonement, to sacrifice his life on the cross for us so that we might have eternal life. And these songs are just that reassurance and that blessed assurance of our salvation and of our hope and of our faith. Amen. So enjoy those Christmas hymns this season and many others. So I want to read some scripture verses here. What does the Bible say about crises? And then we're going to define crises and look at the characteristics of Jesus Christ displayed in the Word of God that can help us through these tribulations and these trials. Psalm 34, 17 through 20. "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." John 16:33. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Matthew 24:13. I love this scripture. "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Philippians 4:19. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So that refers back to the Jehovah Jireh, whom as the provider. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Some versions say an expected end. Luke 21:36, "But stay awake at all times, pray that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." John 14, just the first few verses, "Let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my father's house are many rooms, if we're not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Matthew 24:44, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." Romans 8:1, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Hebrews 11:1, our faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Yeah, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Nahum 1:7. We don't get many scripture verses from Nahum, but the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Hallelujah. Amen. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, and we will receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Amen. Amen. John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. So let's, for a moment, define crises. I know that seems like very rudimentary, but just so we're all on the same page, what is a crisis? What is a trial? What is tribulation in our lives? So a crisis is a situation, circumstance, or condition that causes trauma or discomfort in our lives. So it can take on many different forms. There could be health crises where diagnosed with, you know, a terminal illness, or there's, you know, suddenly a tragic condition or accident that results in you having some ailments or injuries that are severe. So those are some examples of health crises. It could be financial crises, a job loss, medical bills, or student loans that are astronomically high. You know, it can look like, you know, identity theft or something in which your funds are suddenly depleted due to, you know, a hacker. So that those are some you know, possibilities that can occur. It could be a social crisis. It could be social crises or a social crisis, like interpersonal is another way to put it. Divorce, death of a loved one, betrayal, you know, ongoing conflict at the, on your job or at school, or, you know, bullying. It, you know, so it can look like, you know, those types of situations. And then there are the intrapersonal or the internal crises, depression, anxiety, other types of mood disorders or chemical imbalances that can cause you to make some very poor choices and do some self-destructive things, which could result in drug addiction, gambling addiction, you know, sexual indiscretions, those types of things. So those are what crises can constitute in our lives. When we look at Jesus for how to cultivate Christian character in these times of crises, and then there are the global crises, of course, like COVID and things like that. When we look at these conditions and how Jesus shows us, he doesn't just tell us, he shows us, he models, he demonstrates, he fulfills it, he lives it out. This is how we survive times, the unthinkable, the incomprehensible. How did Jesus live on this earth? What did he show, demonstrate to the disciples? He betrayed faithfulness. Hebrews 11:1, 11:6. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. For without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to the Lord must believe that he is and that he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. All the miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospels, Jesus performed those miracles without prior evidence that it was going to be. So he spoke and he believed God for the manifestation of whatever it is he was requesting of God or petitioning the throne of God concerning. The woman with the issue of blood, the blind man, Bartimaeus, the lame man who couldn't walk, turning water into wine, feeding the 5,000, the faithfulness. Jesus had faith. He shows, and he said, if you have faith the size of mustard seed, you can move mountains. It's not the amount of faith, it's who the faith is in. The faith is in the Father, you know, to make all of these incredible, remarkable things happen and come to pass. So we need to be faithful. We need to know that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he's going to do, and we need to in him and never doubt. The book of James says, a double-minded man is unstable, so we should never doubt. When we ask of God, we should not doubt. For that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So Jesus does his faithfulness all the way to the cross. On the cross, the faithfulness, that God was always going to be in control, and that no matter what occurred, God was who he said it was. And sure enough, on that third day after the crucifixion and the burial, he rose to declare all power, the keys of life and death in his hand. He never once doubted his Father. And we need to be the same way. Patience. Jesus was very patient. he was patient with the process. He conducted his ministry here on earth. 33 years he lived. He mentored the disciples. He taught them. He prepared them for his absence or his ascension, which he knew was forthcoming, so that they would be able to continue on the work of missions and proclaiming the gospel so that others would be saved. But he was patient with them. They were not always the most attentive. They were not always the most cooperative. They certainly weren't always as faithful as they needed to be. And they even, you know, turned on God at times. Peter, and of course we know what happened with Judas. Their hearts and minds weren't always right when they were arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. But the Lord was patient with them. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And when Jesus showed the ultimate portrayal of patience when he was on that cross being crucified, and he said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Patient with people who were his arch enemies at that time. So we need to be patient with the process, the pruning that the Lord takes us through, the disciplining, the trial, because God has his appointed time and his purposes. Read Ecclesiastes 3:1, he has his purpose and intent outlined for us. We need to be fruitful. In the times of crises, we need to still be productive for the kingdom. John 15:5. Jesus says, he is the vine and we are the branches, apart from whom we can do nothing. We need to know that he is our lifeline, and that even in critical situations, we can still be conduits for the work of the Lord. It might look differently. Like if during COVID, we had to adapt and adjust and you know, utilize more virtual avenues and so forth. But, you know, God's kingdom will still thrive and flourish. Amen. Souls will still be saved. And even, you know, in our own personal lives on a day-to-day level, whether that be through our jobs or through volunteer service or, you know, just giving someone a word of encouragement, whatever that looks like, even when we may be going through, because we are still here and we are still expected to be light, to be his light in the world. We are called to be loving. Romans 5:8, and this is how Christ demonstrated his love for us. He died for us while we were still sinners. And then 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 defines love for us. We are to be patient and kind, not self-seeking, forgiving, bear all, believe all, even when we are going through ourselves. We are still called to be love in this earth, to show love to others. It is an action. It is a decision. And it does not change just because we're sick or we're hurt or we're angry or someone wrongs us, or it doesn't change. It should not change. it ought not change because God doesn't change on us. We do things that are contradictory to his word, and we all do them. So even in those times of crisis or whatever we're going through, you continue to be loving. Continue to show the Lord's light, reflect his character to others. And it actually helps us to feel better in the midst of our pain and suffering. Because in him we live and move and have our being, right? Acts 17:28. So when we actually give the love that's been given to us, when we can actually reflect it and reproduce it in and through the earth or people, that's been rejuvenating for us, right? Because that love just keeps getting replenished. It doesn't deplete because it's the love of God, so it's inexhaustible. And lastly, we need to be Galatians 6, it says God loves a cheerful giver. We ought to want to give. Giving is more, it's 'tis more blessed to give than receive. It's also in the word. We need to want to give. We need to want to pour into others. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The action of love was the giving. And whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What are we giving? How are we sacrificing? Yes, we may be, with some deep-seated sorrow, maybe agonizing pain and anguish, whatever we're experiencing. But we still need to make sacrifices for the kingdom because it's beyond us. It's even beyond the here and now. 1 Peter 4:12-13, do not think it strange the fiery trials which should try you, but rejoice that we partake of the suffering of the Lord. Or rejoice in that we partake in it, not because it's happening to us, but we partake, we get to be in that space with the Lord of endurance and perseverance. When his glory is revealed, we too will receive that glorious reward. Amen. So faithfulness, patience, fruitfulness, love, sacrifice. That's the character of Christ in times of crisis. Jesus Christ went to that cross on Calvary. He made that sacrifice out of love. He was fruitful the entire time of his ministry here on this earth, knowing what was ultimately going to be the outcome of that crucifixion. He didn't let that stop him from doing what God called him to do. He is patient with us. We should be patient with others and patient with the process of tribulation and suffering because it is a part of life in this earth. And we need to just always be faithful, forever faithful to God as he is faithful to us, no matter what comes our way. We need to be faithful. We need to be loyal. We need to show the world, especially those who are not believers, that we stand with God no matter what. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. So I just pray that we would all cultivate the Christian character that Jesus wants us, that he shows us and models for us during this time. And as long as we are here on this earth,
you know, the only thing that we take with us from here is our character, our identity of who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't take money. We don't take possessions. We don't take people. We take our identity in Christ Jesus. There's a scripture that says, let this mind that is in Christ be also in us, mind of Christ. Let's keep that, beloved friend. We may be the only Jesus someone sees. That life could be life-changing for someone. Could stop someone from picking up a knife, picking up a gun, taking their own life, taking the life of someone else. Because we stopped and said a prayer or prayed with them or gave them something on which to meditate or reflect, make a difference in their lives. I look forward to being back with you next weekend. I think we're going to be on a marathon weekend to finish up the health series. I am in prayer about guests for next year. I'm going to be making out my invitation list. I want to get back on and look at a show line up for the first quarter of 2022. If you are listening to the show and you're interested in guest appearing, guest speaking on Divine Experience, you have a passion for a particular topic or you know, some aspect of ministry, please do reach out to me, dcsmail.com. I would be so grateful and excited and honored to have you on the show. If you know someone you can pass on this information, if you've written books, self-help inspirational books, if you've written novels, of course I'm a novelist and I also write self-help as well. I have 8 novels at this point and some self-help, some devotionals. But if you too write them, please do reach out. I want to support you in that and disseminate that information for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Please have a beautiful, beautiful week this week. And stay safe. Bye-bye.